Hi, this is Chris Pels. In this video, we're going to learn how to build a custom profile provider for ASP.NET. Many times the standard profile provider that comes with ASP.NET membership is sufficient for your needs, but then again there may be times where we'd like to create a custom profile provider either to store your profile data in a different kind of database, or you may still want to store it in SQL Server, which is what the standard membership provider does, but rather than the regular profile table, you'd like to create some of your own tables to store the profile data in a more granular manner so you can do reporting or other things. So that's what we're going to do here. First thing we need to do is to create a class library project that will contain the logic for our custom profile provider. So let's go up here to our empty solution and add a new project. We'll add a class library type project, and let's call this profile provider sample. And let's just store it in this folder here. Now we're going to need a couple of references in our class library project, some other assemblies. So I'll just view all files so you can see the references that we're creating here. So we're going to add references to two different assemblies. The first one will be system.configuration, and the other one will be system.web. Now, in order to create a custom profile provider, we need to inherit from the class called profile provider. So let's take our class here and inherit from system dot, there we go, system.web.profile.profile provider. Now when I hit the enter key here, what you're going to see is all of the abstract classes that we need to implement for our custom profile provider. And as you can see, there's a fair number of them here that we have to implement. So in the interest of time, because we have quite a bit that we have to cover on this topic, what I'm going to do is bring in a class here that I've created ahead of time, which has all the code for these methods, and then we'll go through and review what the code does in each of the methods. So I'll go over here and just refresh our project, and there's the class that I want to bring in. So we'll just include that in the project. And now let's open that up and take a look at it. So what I've done here in our class is I've called it HDI Profile Provider, put it in its own namespace. As you can see, it still inherits from the System Web Profile Profile Provider class, which it's required to do. And then I've added a few imports up here so we don't have to type fully qualified namespaces in a number of different places. So we'll flip back over here to SQL Server. And what I've done is just create a database in SQL Server called HDI Profile Provider. And I've installed ASP.NET membership in here, or the membership tables. What we're interested in are these two tables down here at the bottom that I've created. One is called Profiles and the other is called Profile Data. Now Profiles has a number of columns in it. Now you don't have to have these column names literally, but you do need to have columns that store a unique identifier, a username, an application name, whether or not the user is anonymous, as well as the date of the last activity, because the implementation of the profile provider class requires that you be able to store that data and do certain operations that relate to that data. So there's a pretty standard set of columns. Now the other table that we have here is called profile data, and this is the table in which I'll store the specific profile data that I want for my particular application. And in this case I have a unique identifier for each row of profile data, the foreign key profile ID pointing back to the profile table, and what I'm going to store in my profile here is GMT, or essentially what time zone is the user in, as well as where are they located, what is the latitude and longitude of their location. Now let's take a look at the implementation logic for our provider. The first abstract method that we implemented is initialize, and what initialize does is read some values from the web.config file and store them locally. Most notably, appear in class variables are connection string and application name. Now let's take a look at the get properties and set property value methods. And these two methods, as the names imply, get the values for our profile or set the values for our profile. So let's take a look at how we get the values for a profile. So what we get inbound to this method is the application context, as well as a collection of properties that we can set. So essentially what we have to do here in our method is go off and get the values for each of the properties, in this case from the profile data table, and store them in a collection of values corresponding to those properties. Now the first thing we're going to do here, starting on line 95, is start to interact with some of the user information from the application context. So here what we want to do is find out, you know, and store the username and whether or not the user is authenticated, because we're going to need to store that in some of our tables. And then we're going to go down and we're going to set up a stored procedure over in SQL Server that we're going to call to select the profile data from the database. We're going to add a few parameters down here starting on line 103, where we're passing in the username, application name, and whether or not the user is anonymous, because those are the three criteria that allow us to uniquely identify a profile for a user in the profiles table. Then down here on line 107, we're initializing a new instance of the settings property value collection, which you can see up here on line 93 is the return argument from this required from this method. Then we're going to go down here in our try block. We're going to open the connection, execute a SQL data reader. Then we're going to loop through each of the properties that were sent inbound to this method. And for each one of those, we're going to establish what the property is by looking at the name of the property. In this case, here we see GMT, lat, and long. And if we find that property, then we're going to take the value from the SQL data reader and assign it to the property value. And notice we're creating a new instance of a local variable for the settings property value class, which is where we're storing the property value. And then down here on line 131, as we iterate through each of the properties, we're taking this instance of the settings property value class and storing it in the settings value collection, which is what we're ultimately returning from this method. Now, some of these names may be a little confusing here, but to help you, essentially what's happening is there's one collection coming inbound to the method which has all the properties, and then there's a separate collection that's being returned from the method, and in that collection, we have each of the values for the property. So then when we're all done down here, you'll see we're returning the collection of values that we have created. So let's collapse up this getProperties method. And let's go down and look at how we would set the properties. Now what's happening here is essentially the reverse of what we just saw in getPropertyValues. We're getting inbound to this method in application context, and essentially the same collection that we returned from the getPropertyValues method up here is being passed back to us. And what we need to do then is to take each of the values in this collection and store them back in the database. Now to do that, we get some of the same information that we did when we retrieved the property values, get the username, whether or not they're authenticated. We set up a stored procedure here that we're going to call to save the data. We add some parameters which will allow us to uniquely identify the user for saving the data. And then we iterate through each of the inbound property value settings, and we add that value to a parameter passed inbound to the stored procedure. Then when we're done with setting up the parameters, we're just opening the connection, executing the query to save the data in the database. Okay, let's flip back over here to SQL Server. Here are the two tables, the profile data and the profiles that we saw a little bit ago. Let's go down in here to the stored procedures. Many of these procedures that have the ASP.NET underscore prefix are with the membership provider. Let's go down here. Here are the various stored procedures that we're using for our custom profile provider. Now for getting our property values for our profile, we're using the profile data select, and that stored procedure passes in three values which allow us to uniquely identify the profile. And before returning the data so we can store it in the profile in our code, here on line 21 it's calling a separate stored procedure which is updating the last activity column in our profile record, which as you recall is up here, right here, last activity. Now the other stored procedure that we're using to set the property values is profile data update. So let's take a look at that. And this procedure, we're getting the three pieces of information to uniquely identify the profile, as well as the profile data values here. So what we do in this stored procedure is we try to find the profile ID based upon the username, application name, and whether or not it's anonymous. If we don't get a profile ID, we assume this is a new profile, so we execute a separate stored procedure, profiles insert, which creates a new profile. And then we go down here, and if it is a new profile, we insert our three values into the profile data table with the unique identifier, or rather foreign key, back to the profile. If it's an existing record or profile, then we update the three values in our profile data table. And then once again, we execute a stored procedure which updates the last activity column in the profiles table. Now the rest of the abstract methods that we have to implement beyond the get and set property values all have to do with operations on groups of profiles. For example, down here on line 195 you can see is a method where we are to delete any inactive profiles, and that's based upon a parameter which is a specified date. So what this method would do is go out, look at all the profiles' last activity date, and that's why it's important that we update that value each time we access a profile, and it would delete all of those profiles that have not been active from the specified date. We then have a method after that, which is delete all the profiles based on an array of usernames. So essentially, here's a bunch of usernames, delete all their profiles. We then have a companion method here where we pass in a collection of profiles and we say, okay, delete all these profiles based upon the usernames that are in the collection of profiles. Next, we have a series of methods that have to do with retrieving profiles. The first one here on line 298 is to find all the inactive profiles based upon a username to match. So we pass in the username, the inactivity date, and then here authentication option is passing in whether or not we're dealing with an anonymous or an authenticated user. So you take all of this information inbound to the method, and it looks up in the database, finds all those profiles, and returns a collection of those profiles. Then we have some other methods here for finding profiles. The next one is find profiles by username, and essentially the key inbound argument here is the username to match. And I should mention that this can be not a fully qualified username, but it could be a couple characters like SAT or something like that. And then you find all the users that start with SAT and return them. Next we have get all inactive profiles based simply on an inactivity date as compared to the previous method up here, which was the inactivity date and the username. We have get all profiles based upon just in this case the authentication option, page index, and page size. And then we have a method here that gets us the number of inactive profiles based upon a date and the authentication option. Now what I've done here to simplify the code for us is that each of these methods actually calls another method down here that helps find the appropriate profiles. Let's take a look at the getAllProfiles method here as an example. We have our inbound arguments, and then it's calling another private method here in our class, which passes in the various arguments. In this case, we don't have some arguments, so two of these inbound arguments are set to nothing. And we'll scroll down to our methods region, and in here we have two methods. Check parameters is just a little utility method that looks at the page index and page size and just calculates some information for that. We won't take a look at that in any detail. And here's the main method we want to look at, get profile info. So let's expand that. And this receives a number of arguments inbound, as we saw up in the methods above, and it returns a collection of profiles. So essentially what this method is doing is taking these inbound arguments, it's setting up a call to a stored procedure that passes all of those arguments, and the stored procedure is doing the majority of the work by then filtering and retrieving the appropriate profile records that we want. And then down here in this method, we're creating a profile for each returned record and putting it into the collection. So we're all done with creating our custom profile provider. Now let's create a website and test it out. Now, as I mentioned in the beginning of the video, we need to have ASP.NET membership installed in order to test out and use the profile provider. So what I've done is I've created a website ahead of time that has the ASP.NET membership installed, and then we'll build upon that to test out our profile provider. So let's go up here to our solution and add that existing website to our solution, is right there. And you'll notice the website has a database in it, HDI Profile Provider, and that's the database that we've been looking at when we were creating our custom profile provider over here in this class library project. Also, I have a web.config in here where I've set up the membership provider related elements. So the first thing we need to do is install our provider here in our website. In order to do that, we need two things. One is we need a reference to our assembly that has the provider in it. So let's add that here. And in this case, what I'm going to do is just reference the project in our solution. You could also create a bin folder and add the assembly manually into the bin folder. So the second thing we want to do is to add some information to install our provider in the web.config. So we'll go down here to where we want to put that, and what we want to add is a profile element, and we want to specify the default profile provider, and we'll call that HDI SQL provider, and then we want to add a provider in the providers element. And the name that we want to give it is HDI SQL provider. And the type is the fully qualified name of our assembly, and that would be profile provider sample. Dot provider. And lastly, HDI profile provider is the class name. Then the connection string we want to use, that is the HDI connection string, which I've set up above and is also being used by the membership provider, as you might see up there on line 68. And the last thing is the application name. We'll call this HDI videos. Then we have to set up the properties that our provider uses, and we want to add, and what we want for the first one, the name is GMT, and the type is a system.int32. And the allow anonymous we're going to set to true. Then the next one, oops here, and the next one that we want to add is called lat, and the type of this is system.single, and we also want to allow anonymous. And the third and last one is long, type is also system.single, and allow anonymous. Next, let's add a web page where we'll do some operations on our profiles. So we'll add a new web page here, and we'll just take the default ASPX. And the first thing I want to do on this page is we're going to add a login status control. So let's get one of those and bring it over here. And we'll put that right in here. Then we want to add a couple text boxes where we can either view or edit some of the profile information. So let's bring in a text box here. And here we go, text box. Bring that in, put that in there, and let's just give it a label. In this case, we're going to call this username for the first one, and we'll just put a little space in there. Now we're going to copy that because we're going to do 1, 2, 3 more, and we'll just do a little editing here. This one will have the GMT. This one's going to have the latitude. And this one's going to have the longitude. And let's just rename the text boxes to TXT username, TXT GMT. Latitude and longitude. Then let's go down here and create another little paragraph. And in here, what I want to put is a couple buttons. So let's just create an ASP TT button. There we go. And let's just call this one button clear, that equals server, and the text of this one will be clear. And let's just copy that. We want to put two more buttons. There we go. Copy it. Paste it in. The second one is going to be called button load. And the third one, last one, is going to be called button save. Change the text here to load profile and save profile. Now let's go over here to our code behind. And the first thing we want to do is override the onload event. There it is. And what we want to do here is take the profile object and we want to test to see if it is anonymous. And if it is, just remembered, we want to put one more thing over here in our page. And right up here above the username, let's just add a label. And we'll add an ASP label here, and ID equals Lyman run at equals server. There we go. Now we'll go back over here to our code behind. And what we want to do here is take that label, and the text that label, if we are anonymous, we're going to put yes. And then if we're not anonymous, we're going to put no. Then we're going to take the username text box. And we're going to assign the username from the profile to that. Okay, let's go back over here to our page. We'll just go into the design mode. And we want to set up an event handler for the click event for each one of these buttons. And in the clear, we're just going to take the text box and set that equal to string.empty. And we're going to take the latitude and set that to string.empty, and the same thing with the longitude. Then we're going to go down here to our load, and we're going to take the profile. And we're going to take our GMT text box, and we're going to set it equal to the GMT value from the profile, same with the latitude and the longitude. And the longitude. And in our save, we're going to do the reverse. We're going to take the profile, and we're going to take the GMT value or property in the profile, and we're going to assign the GMT text value, and the same thing for the latitude. And the longitude. Then the last thing we're going to do here is add a simple login page. So let's just add a new item here, and we'll call the page login. And we'll go here to our toolbox, and we're going to get a login control. There it is. And we're going to put that right here on this page. Just remembered one little mistake over here in our code behind. We got tab index instead of text. Let's just correct that. Also remember that we didn't put the call the save method over here in our save click event. So let's put that in here. So we're saving the profile after we're done. Okay, we should be all set to test out our sample website here and our profile provider. Let's start it up without debugging. And we initially are not logged in, so we're an anonymous user. We're given this GUID as our username. Let's put in some values here. Let's put 1, just 2, and 3 quite quickly. And then this button will save the profile back to the database. Let's just do that. Here we'll clear out the profile information. We'll keep the same username, so when we click load profile, it should load in that information back again, as it does. Now let's log in, and I've set up one user in the database already and the membership provider called test user, password exclamation point, which I'll put in the README file. We'll log in. Now we're logged in as that user. When we load the profile here, we should get the profile information that was previously stored in the database when I created this user. And we do. It's also 123. So let's just prove that this really works here by changing these values. We'll save the profile. We'll actually log out to go back to the anonymous user, load their profile, it's still there. We'll go back, we'll log in as the test user. And now we're back as, whoops, wrong password. Let's try that again. There it is. Test user, let's load their profile, and there are the values that we just entered. So we're saving our profile information here by invoking these buttons. You could use other means to save the profile data whenever you wanted it to. And it's important to note here that we have set this up so we're saving both the profile for anonymous users that visit the site as well as authenticated users. Just to finish up with this, let's go over to that SQL Server database here. And I've opened up the profiles and the profile data tables. Here's our test user that was there before we started. Let's refresh this, and now we'll see our anonymous user is in here as well. Let's go over to the profile data, and we have here the old profile data. We'll re-execute that, and there is the profile data for both our anonymous and our test user. So in summary, to create a custom profile provider, we created a class library project, Profile Provider Sample. In it, we had one class that inherited from the required base class of Profile Provider. We then implemented the logic for all the required abstract methods from the base class. Once we were done with our provider, we created a sample website to test it out up here. We installed the provider by adding some elements to the web.config file and then created a simple interface for testing, loading, and saving of the profile information. There's quite a bit of information in this video on how to create a custom profile provider, so I encourage you to download the sample source code and look at it in detail. This is Chris Pels. Thanks for taking the time to watch this video on how to create a custom profile provider.